If we jump down to verse 29, it says, "And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." What? What do you mean he's not a man that he should repent? He just repented twice that we looked at here. Once in the same chapter, written by the same man, talking to the same man. So God says, "Hey, I repent. This was the word that is in the King James. I repent from what I've done. It repenteth me that I made Saul king." 18 verses down, it says, "The Lord is not man that he should repent." That is a problem. That's a contradiction. But God doesn't make mistakes. So what does he mean here? And it's Friday again, which means we are back at it once more. And we have a lot of things to talk about today. One being that there was a Tinder match in 2014 that is unexpected, to say the least. So you can tune in to the fun fact section to hear what I'm talking about there. Also, we have a Reddit question from a little Q&A I did over on Reddit, which you can join over there on Reddit and join the conversation. But the question was, how can God have regrets? And that's a great question, and I'm going to get into that. But God, being an all-seeing, all-knowing, almighty God, how can he have regrets? How can he not see the future and understand, okay, this is not going to be good, so why does he just not do it? We're going to talk about that today. And we have a little special announcement sprinkled in here today. So if you are ready for all of this and more, be sure to stay tuned till the end, because there's a lot of interesting things that we have to talk about today. But before we get started, I really want to encourage you to rate the Godcast with Benjamin Shelby. Be sure to please do that, and let's get started. Ladies and gentlemen, hold your horses and horses hold your breath, because what I have to show you today during the fun fact section is mind-blowing. So apparently in 2014, Tinder made history. And if you don't know what Tinder is, it's an online dating website, app, whatever you want to call it, where people match, and it's apparently it works sometimes. I hear a lot more Tinder horror stories than I do actually working out. But hey, if you're one of those people that it worked out for, congratulations. But Tinder, oh, I dropped my source of evidence. Tinder in the year 2014 made history. And the history was that Tinder made its first match in Antarctica. And this is the first match of any dating platforms ever. Like, this is the first time that a dating app matched people in Antarctica. It's crazy stuff. Okay, so listen to this. So it was a scientist who asked not to be named out for the concern of the government would revoke his internet privileges if anyone found out that he was using precious broadband looking for dates. So, yeah, dude, why would you do it? I doubt that it's actually going to work out for you. Oh, wait, you did find somebody in Antarctica. So he got Tinder just for the fun of it, just to see what was going on down in Antarctica. I would have thought nothing was happening down in Antarctica, but apparently there was a girl camping in Antarctica, just camping in the middle of nowhere in the dry valleys. And he said that he was looking, and he saw she was there, he swiped right, and they matched in Antarctica. What? I guess it's true, you really can find the love anywhere, because what in the world? Who went down to Antarctica and was like, you know what? Yeah, this is where I'm going to meet the one. They didn't end up together, but it's just interesting. Like, she was a 45-minute helicopter ride from where he was to where she was. And I have to say, ladies, if there's a man that comes to you on a helicopter in the middle of nowhere, marry him. Mostly because he has a helicopter. So that's pretty cool. But that's crazy stuff. I would have never thought, if you would have asked me if there was ever a Tinder match or a match of any dating app in any other continent other than Antarctica, I would say, yeah, I believe that. But Antarctica, that's crazy. That really is just like the, you could have skipped over this part and didn't really mean anything. But I actually have an interesting Tinder story, which I will get into because I have a little bit of time. And this is the fun fact section. So fun fact, I have made a Tinder account. And that Tinder account was actually a Christian Mingle account, but it's the same thing. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. Well, I didn't do it for myself, actually. It was me and my good friend Tom. Shout out to Tom if he's listening. We made a Christian Mingle account for our friend. And we got kicked off right away. Let me read to you what we put on his Christian Mingle account. This is what he wrote in his bio, and I'm not going to tell you what his name was because I just don't want him to be embarrassed that we did this. But it says, "Hi, my name is blank. I like elbows and elbow noodles." What? "I'm a real go-getter," or more of a real go-get-her, if you know what I'm saying, and then we put a kissy emoji. "I also can throw a single pea over 50 feet in the air." I didn't know I wrote that. "Also, I like waffles. Come and get me." And then we put three heart emojis. If somebody put that on their Christian Mingle account, you would think that that would just blow up. He can throw a pea, a single pea, 50 feet in the air. That's insane. He also likes elbows and elbow macaroni, guys. This guy's a gem. Yeah, we got kicked off of Christian Mingle like that. So, that's my Christian Mingle story. So I guess this first 5 minutes of the episode was just about dating apps, and dating apps are the end of society. I'm pretty sure about that, because if we get kicked off for saying that this man is a real go-get-her and nobody thought that was funny, that's not a world I want to live in. Coming up next, Q&A. So let's get going. I mean, he can throw a pee 50 feet in the air. Come on, ladies. Okay, this question comes from a user on Reddit, and the question goes as, Genesis 6:6, this is the NIV version, "The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." And his question was, that God has regret? Okay, so first off, if you want to be a part of the conversation, I have a Reddit community that you can join, and you can follow me on Reddit, and you can be part of the conversation and be able to ask me questions and be part of the community. So that question, why does God have regrets? I'm kind of rephrasing what he said there, but that's what he means. How does God have regrets? Why does God have regrets? So first off, I'm going to use the King James Version because that's the version that I use. But in the King James Version, it says how God repented. God repented from making man on the earth. It means the same thing. The same word is used in the Hebrew. So it means the same thing. I'm just using a King James Version instead of the NIV. So before I get started, I want to thank you to this user that I can't pronounce his name because I don't want to do it wrongly. So I'm going to let Siri do it wrongly. So thank you to
Hitchimtal
for commenting on this and asking me this question, because this is something that I never really thought of. So I want to thank you for asking that question. And we're going to read in Genesis 6, we'll read verse 5. "And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great among the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and of his heart was only on evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created, both from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Okay, so that word repented, that seems like it has the implication that God has regrets. How does an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing, omnipresent God have regrets? How does he make mistakes like that? How does he do things that he's like, man, I wish I didn't do that? That's what regretting is in our mind, right? That's what it means. That's what repenting means. Like, man, I wish I didn't do that. Why does God do that? How does God do that? How is that even possible? How does that fit into the nature of God? Well, there's a couple key things I want to point out about this. Number one is we have to understand what the Greek, or not the Greek, I'm sorry, what the Hebrew word is. That Hebrew word is used, let me see what the Hebrew word is. It's nakam. I'm not a Hebrew person, so I don't know if that's the way you pronounce it or not. But that word is used 108 times in the Bible and occurs in 100 different verses. So this is a word that we see a lot. We see it a lot in Scripture. So we have to understand what it means. And that word is used 108 times in Scripture, but the majority of it, that word is not translated into repent. That word, nakam, occurs 57 times in the Bible as comfort, 41 times as repent, 9 times as comforter, and 1 time it is translated as ease. So then that begs the question, how does one word go into all these different words? How is there a through line through all of these things, through comfort, through repent, through comforter, through ease? That doesn't make any sense until we learn what the word actually means. That word, nakam, that word means a primitive root properly to sigh. That is to breathe strongly. By implication, to be sorry. That is, in a favorable sense, to pity, to console, or reflexively rue. Or unfavorably, avenge, or comfort oneself, ease oneself, regret. So that is the Strong's Concordance of what that word means. And that word is H5162. If you guys want to look that up, you can look up those right now and you can see that that's actually what it says. So that word simply means to sigh. Whether that is implied in a good way or a bad way, it means to sigh. It says to properly sigh or to breathe strongly. And by implication, sometimes it can mean it's sorry that you're sorrowful sighing, like, oh, come on. Like, you know, when you get angry, you're like, oh, come on, stuff like that. Or it can mean, like I said earlier, it's used 57 times in the Bible as comfort. Some of those times that it's used as comfort is actually used before Genesis 6:6. I'll get into that in a second. So that comfort would be like a sigh of comfort. That word just means sigh. It doesn't mean that at its base, it does not mean sorrowful. At its base, it means to sigh, to breathe strongly. That's what that Hebrew word translates to. So, like I said, Genesis 6:6 is not the first time we see nakam in the Bible. We actually see nakam in the chapter before that. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, it's going through different bloodlines and talking about like the lineage of Moses. So it's just going back through Moses' great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, whatever you want to, however many greats go in there. But in verse number 29, that word nakam is used, but it's not used as repent. Genesis 5:29 says, "And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work of toil and of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." That when he says the word comfort right there, "For he shall comfort us," that word is the same word that is used in Genesis 6:6, repent. When God talks about the comforter, he'll send the comforter. That is the same word. Stuff like that, we have to think about. That although we can trust our Bible, it wasn't written in English. So oftentimes, to understand the complexity and the actual meaning of the scriptures, we should look at what it originally says. And that original word, Nakam, means to sigh. So that means that Noah here, it's a prophecy that Noah will make them have a sigh of comfort, to ease. Because it says right here that that word, by implication, in a good sense, means to ease. So that's what that word means. That's important to understand. Now, that still raises the question, though, why does God sigh in regret? Because that's clearly what it's talking about. God's like, oh, he sighs. That he's saying that that he is so upset that he even made man that he sighs. That's what Genesis 6:6 seems like. So what does that mean? Well, to answer this question, we are going to go into 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel will be in chapter 15 today. And we're going to begin in verse 11. We're actually going to jump around a little bit, but we're going to read verse 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and he hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So God is telling Samuel, I set up Saul to be king. I set up Saul to be king. I made Saul king, and it repenteth me. There's that word again. Or I'm sure in other versions it says regret. I have regret because I did this. That's another place where God talks about having regret and repenting from what he's done. But here's one thing that would be kind of contradictory. If we jump down to verse 29, it says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. What? What do you mean he's not a man that he should repent? He just repented twice that we looked at here. Once in the same chapter, written by the same man, talking to the same man. So God says, hey, I repent. This was the word that is in the King James. I repent from what I've done. It repenteth me that I made Saul king. 18 verses down, it says, the Lord is not man that he should repent. That is a problem. That's a contradiction. But God doesn't make mistakes. So what does he mean here? It simply means this. The way that us humans repent, the way that us humans regret things, we want to go back and we're like, if we could go back and change it, we would. That's the way we regret. That's the way we repent from things. There's things that I regret that I've done, and I wish I could go back. If I had a chance to go back and change it, I would. That's not the way that God repents. That's not the way God has regret. God is sorrowful for the way that it turned out. God is not happy for what's happened, but if he wanted to go back and change it, he would do the same thing. Why? Because God is an all-knowing God. God knows what's best. God would not change what he's done. Listen to me here, okay? God can regret something he's done, but not in the way that man regrets. The way that man regrets is that we wish we could go back and change it. Because guess what? God could go back and change it if he wanted to. But he doesn't. And God can see the future. He understands what's about to happen. Yet he still does things. So since God can't make mistakes, since he knows the outcome, he does have regret. He has regret for what's happening. And remember what that word means. It just means to sigh. He's like, oh, really? They're doing that? After all I've done? He's angry, but he didn't do anything wrong. And I have news for you. If God wanted to destroy all humans when he sent the flood, he would have. But he didn't want to destroy all of them. Because because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If God was really done with all people, if he was like, no, I'm putting an end to this. I don't want these guys to be here anymore. He would have done that. He would have killed everybody, but he didn't. Because Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God's not somebody who repents as in we repent, as in we wish we could go back and change things, because God knows what he needs to do. God did what was right. We tainted what he did, and he's upset about that. Think about it this way. Let's say that a father spanked his son, and his son, because of his spanking, ran off, ran away from home. The father can have remorse for that. The father can be upset that that's the outcome of what's happened, but the father didn't do anything wrong. He did what was right. He did what he knew he was supposed to do. But he's still upset with the outcome. That's the way that God repents. And I'm not even saying that I'm nailing exactly the way God repents perfectly, but I am saying that God says that he doesn't repent as a man repents. So any way that we would think that we need to repent, or any way that we have regrets, that's not the way God works. God has a very specific way of emotions. God's love is beyond what we can understand. God's peace is beyond what we can understand. God's holiness, all of the attributes of God, is beyond what we understand. And God repenting, God regretting, is beyond what we can understand. But he gives us this, that he doesn't repent like a man repents. He doesn't repent, he doesn't regret as a man regrets, as in if he could go back and change it, he would. No, he knows what's right. He does what's right. But when things go wrong, he sighs. He's like, oh, why did you do that? Because we have the choice of free will. So God does what's good, and he lets us choose what we're going to do with what he's done. That's how God repents. And if God had a chance to do over everything he did at any time, whatever he's done, I think if God had a chance to do it over again, he would do it the same way. Why? Because he knows what's right. He knows what's good. There are very few things that God does to the same effect that a man does, or that man does to the same effect that God does. And God regretting, God repenting, is that same way. God does not regret the way that we think regret means. He doesn't, because that's what the Bible says. And if you look at it the right way, there's no contradiction here, because it doesn't say that God doesn't repent. It says that God does not repent as a man repents in verse 29. For he is not man that he should repent. He doesn't repent as a man repents. He repents as God repents. Simply, he's done all these good things, and we ruin it. That is what my answer is, and that is what I think is the right answer. And if you think that maybe there's more to it, or there's less to it, or maybe I'm overthinking it, be sure to contact me. But this is what seems to be very in line with Scripture. God does repent. God does regret, but not to the same effect that we do, because God knows what's good. God knows what's perfect. God does what's good. God does what's perfect. And even though we can be a pain in God's neck to where he sighs and he breathes heavily, as in that word means, he wouldn't change it. But what God always wants to do is redeem. God wants to redeem you. So God wouldn't change what he's done in the past. What he wants you to do is change what you do in the future. So thank you so much for asking that question. I really appreciated it. I was able to grow as I looked into it and what it actually meant. And I told you guys there would be a special announcement. And the special announcement is that in a week from today, I'm going to have my first guest episode. And the gentleman that is coming on is named Donovan Jones from the Called to Act podcast. So just to let you guys know that there's something exciting coming next week, I will have Donovan Jones on here. We're going to talk about a very interesting topic. So be sure to come back next week. And don't forget, if you have a question like the question I answered today, you can contact me on Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, anywhere you want to. You can contact me. My email is down below in the description. And don't forget to follow the podcast and share it with whomever you think is deemed worthy to hear my wonderful voice. I'm joking. All right, seriously though, I hope this episode today was able to help you understand how God has regrets. Without further ado, I will see you guys next week. And as we end off yet another episode, I want to remind you of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that's you, that's me, you can put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son. Don't forget that you are loved by God. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not worth it, because you were worth enough that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for you. And don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions, comments, or concerns you might have on this episode, and I will gladly get back to you as soon as possible. So until next time, God bless. Thank you.